So everyone's kind of in the same. They're kind of separated a little bit, but at the same time, like, you know, we have two coaches that are in the building. So
that's
have access to
yep.
multiple grade levels of kids.
That is help, super.
You know,
yeah.
Help numbers, you know, keep building.
You know, did you guys finish strong last year? Do I have that right or not?
I'm sorry?
Did you finish strong last year?
So we won. We went 1-10 last year. We won our second to last game, and then we played Peabody on Thanksgiving.
Okay. All right. All right. So, okay.
Playing against Shea Lynch is always real fun.
You're not the only one to say that.
I told Coach Betancourt after. I mean, that kid is a generational talent.
Oh, he knows.
Not only was he a solid football player, he's a great kid.
Yeah.
But I mean, you watch him on film, and he was just always poised.
Yeah.
He was always under control, and I think he's going to be great at Endicott. I mean, I told Coach McGonigal over there, I go, listen, you guys got to steal, because I think he could have played at a higher level. But, I mean, he's everything you want in a high school football player. I don't miss him at all.
I hear you.
He was a lot of fun to watch on.
Yeah. In fact, Bill just did an interview with Coach Betancourt today, and they talked about Mark's been over there to see both Endicott games at home so far this year to watch him. And, of course, the McGonigal kid from – not McGonigal, the Marenghi kid from Linfield too, you know. So it's great to have them in the area.
Coach McGonigal's done a really good job recruiting this area. And, you know, yeah, the kid from Stoneham was their defensive player of the year a couple of years. Coach has done a great job since he came over from Assumption. He's a good guy to have in the area, but he's doing a great job with that program.
All right, when we get started, I'm going to ask you about the Chelsea game because I can't find any write-up anywhere, and I don't know what Bill and I are doing since COVID is we're doing more phone interviews, and we're actually getting to talk to more coaches about more stuff than ever before, you know, rather than trying to do one game a week. So, but I couldn't find anything, so I'm going to ask you about the game. And then I'm going to ask you about maybe what you saw on film with your team, and I'll explain that when we get doing. And then we'll talk about the Northeast game coming up.
Perfect.
All right. And since I haven't talked to you before, I'm going to talk to you about the new stadium, the new school and all that stuff.
All right.
All right. Let me get this thing rolling. 3, 2, 1. With MSO News Sports, I'm Rick Moore. I'm really happy now to be talking with old friend Steve Cummings, the Saugus High School football coach. And, Steve, I know Bill has had your ear a couple of times this year so far, but great to be talking with you. And first of all, congratulations on really a terrific start last week against Chelsea.
Thank you very much. And, you know, again, a big thank you to you guys over there at MSO. You guys do a great job getting the word out about high school sports. I know the kids like seeing their name in the paper and being able to see themselves online. So all the work you guys do doesn't go unnoticed.
Oh, that's nice. And, you know, we're both former educators, and we love doing it. And we love talking with you guys, and we're always learning. Now, before we get started, Steve, I have to ask you about the building process at Saugus. It's been a long process. You guys, I mean, the league is tough. And one of the things I noticed this past week, interestingly enough, the top division, I forget whether it's Dunn or Lynch, but the top division – everybody lost in that top division. The bottom, and I'm using that in quotes, the other division, including you guys, everybody won. And I think that says something about the Northeastern Conference to begin with. I'm not sure what. But tell me a little bit about the opening of your season against Chelsea and what you expected to be able to do.
Yeah, I mean, you know, with us, we have a lot of guys that have been, you know, starting for us for multiple years. You know, my senior class right now, we've got guys that were, you know, seeing time as freshmen, starting as sophomores. This year coming in, you know, we had a lot of experience on the field. You know, like I remember playing a game at Linfield 2 years ago, and I remember looking on the field and being like, wow, there's like three guys on the field that have varsity experience. And that's invaluable. To have guys that have been under the lights before, to have guys that know what to expect. You know, when the majority of you guys are in that, you're in a good spot. This is the first year that we've had a returning quarterback since I've been here.
Mm-hmm.
So just that extra poise, you know, it's like you've been under the lights before. You've seen all this stuff before. Now it's just about going out and playing and executing. Friday night, we were able to get to a very fast start. You know, our quarterback, Cam Preston, you want to talk about efficient. He ended the game 11 for 12, 170 yards, 4 touchdowns, and 60 yards rushing. And I pulled him with 3 minutes to go in the third quarter.
Oh, wow.
He was hitting, you know, it's about being in the offense for multiple years, having the same system, and just just kind of knowing what to look for. Okay, they're going to give me this, I'll take this. They're going to give me that, I'll take that. Just his maturity and his experience showed. And then when he was able to get the ball to guys in space, they were able to, you know, capitalize and make big plays with it. Guys like Isaiah Rodriguez, Danny Shea, Amin Tabubi, Cody Munafo, Tommy DeSimone, guys that have been with us for a few years and now just kind of getting to be a little bit sharper with where we need to be on plays. And just, you know, we don't have to spend as much time in practice fine-tuning stuff. These guys are, you know, they're ready. They've been out there before. They've got a ton of varsity reps. And, you know, to watch them go out and execute the way that we did Friday, you know, it was a long time coming, but it was a lot of fun to watch.
Steve, I know that there's a lot of pride in where a person works. That, like, if a coach is teaching in one building and working in somewhere else, that pride is not divided. It's actually multiplied. And since you've been at Saugus, I know that you're imbued in the Saugus tradition, which is amazing, in all sports, not just football. What does it mean now at this point with your kids who've had a tough time winning games, but being together, as you said, for a while now, and seeing that, okay, we can accomplish something here. What's that growth like for you and for the team?
I mean, I think it all comes from your upperclassmen. You know, our seniors this year, and you know, we have a junior captain as well. These guys have done a great job. Like, our off-season workouts, we've never had more guys than what we had this summer. Guys wanting to come down and just kind of battle for time. But that comes from your senior leaders. You know, they have to push the culture. I mean, as coaches, we're trying to set the standard of what we want in a program. But if your top guys aren't buying into what you're doing, it really doesn't matter. So I've got some fantastic senior leaders on this football team. Guys that are, you know, I've got a guy like Braden Fiala could play anywhere. He could be at an ISL school. He could be at St. John's Prep. He was just listed as one of the Boston Globe top 30 players in the state. He had 186 tackles last year.
Mm.
He would fit in anywhere, but that kid wants to be at Saugus High. He wants to play here. He wants to play with this group of guys. Guys like Isaiah Rodriguez, Cam Preston. These guys could have gone other places. They could have played at private schools. They could have played at ISL schools, but they want to make their mark here. And, like, for me as a coach, when I hear guys say, you know, coach, I'm not leaving. I'm staying here because I want to turn this into something. That's everything to a coach.
Of course. Yeah.
You know, and yeah, you're going to lose a handful of guys out, you know, your eighth grade class. You're just going to. You got kids whose older brothers went to private schools or did whatever. You know, kids want to go to tech schools. I get it. Like, if you want to work in that field, yeah, it's definitely a leg up. I can't discredit a kid for wanting to do that. But we're trying to keep as many guys in Saugus as we can. We're trying to keep as many athletes here as we can. But it comes from, you know, it's the culture that we set as coaches. But more importantly, when your older guys buy into the message that you're trying to send, it filters throughout your entire program. And, like, when those kids take on that extra leadership role, it makes everything that you do, like, that much more important towards, you know, building for those kids' success. I cannot speak highly enough of my seniors that we have this year.
Mm-hmm.
They have done, you know, they've been through some lean years, but they've stuck with it. And, you know, they've got great attitudes. They push their teammates in a positive way. And, you know, the byproduct of that is what we were able to do Friday night.
What's it mean, Steve? I know we talked in our pregame stuff here that you have assistant coaches in the building. How important is that for you as the head coach to have eyes in the building?
It's huge because it's not only, you know, is it you got a guy who's keeping an eye, but he's also, you also have a guy in the building that can notice when guys are doing the right thing. And we can also, it's not just being about, you know, getting on the, you know, if a kid's late or if a kid does whatever. It's also about being able to praise, like, hey, I saw this kid, you know, he took the new kid at lunch and did whatever. Like, we're also able to see that side of it. So it's not always the negative part that you want to get eyes on. You also want to make sure that you're praising guys for doing the right thing, for setting the culture in the building, for doing the right things in the hallway. So to have guys in the building that can report back on stuff like that is huge because we got great kids here, you know. And I want to be able to, you know, celebrate their successes, not just try to get all over them when, you know, they're in the hallway.
Well, of course,
not supposed to, or whatever.
Yeah, of course, and that's that's awesome. I want to ask you, Coach. You mentioned a lot of players so far. But I want to ask you, is there someone, when you watched the film, that you didn't really see stand out during the game because so much is going on, but when you watch the film, you can point out and say, okay, I like what this kid did.
Yeah, I mean, so one of our D linemen, Dylan Clark, he's a senior. You know, we talk all the time on defense about how, like, it's not about stats. It's not about how many tackles you make. It's about how many times you execute assignment. And, you know, Dylan didn't get into a lot of tackles on Friday night, but he was holding double teams so that Braden Fiala can go scrape and make a tackle. He's chasing things down backside so a kid has to cut back into, like, a Danny Shea who's screaming downhill to make a play. So, like, it doesn't show up in the stat sheet, but Dylan Clark is a kid who, you know, Friday night, when you're watching the film, you go, like, he was always in the right spot. He used his hands really well. He put pressure on a quarterback and forced him to throw a ball off his back foot that we picked off. Yeah, that doesn't show up in the stat sheet, but those are the things that you notice on film, and you go, like, if he doesn't do that, maybe that play ends differently. But he's a kid who's just worked on his craft, worked to get better and better. You know, and he had a fantastic, fantastic game Friday night.
I'm just imagining what a great teaching tool that is, Steve, when you've got guys racking up the stats, but then you can go into practice and say, guys, take a look at this. I love it.
Oh, yeah. No, we do it a lot with the offensive stuff, too, where it's like, see how this guy carried out his fake? You got a guy chasing him. Now you've got one less guy to beat. So we try to do a lot of work on, like, you know, your stats don't dictate how well you played. It's execute assignment. Mm-hmm. We do those things, you do them enough, and everyone does it. That's when wins happen.
I love it.
Guys buying into that, those kinds of little things that we have, and I think, you know, and I think that's one of the reasons that we're able to get off to the kind of start that we've been off to.
Fantastic. All right, now let's look ahead to Northeast. Tell me about it.
I mean, they're going to run the ball at you, and then they're going to run some more. They go, you know, double tight, double wing. They got, you know, a stable of running backs that can just kind of get in behind people and grind out yards. I mean, it is. Donnie Harris does a fantastic job just with the little nuances of that offense. I mean, we went and scouted their game Saturday morning, and it was like, you know, second and six, third and two, first down. Mm-hmm. Second and five, third and one, first down. And their line is very good getting off the ball. Their backs don't dance. They hit the hole. They get to where they need to be. And it's like, you know what, if it's not there, I'm just going to put my face down and grind out three. And then, you know, from a defensive side, like, you know, you get undisciplined for a snap, and a kid like, you know, Chris Zulo is going to hit a cutback lane for 80 yards. He's got that kind of speed. Like, not only does he run tough, he's fast. So we got our hands full, you know, on the defensive side for us, because we know that, you know, we're going to have to withstand what they do. It's a really hard – the hardest part about that offense is you really can't run it with, like, the way that they do in practice.
Right,
the guys are really seeing it for the first time when you're there, because, you know, we got rules and we got, you know, whatever, but, like, you're not going to run it to the speed or as well as they do. So you got to really catch up fast. You know, and then on the defensive side of the ball, I mean, they got kids that can come downhill and play football. You know, they're not shy. They come, they hit. It's Donnie Hare's DNA all over that football team. He's a tough dude. He runs a tough team, and those kids play, you know, to his demeanor. So we know. We've had, you know, they've had our number the past 2 years, so we know what we're going to get. We know what's coming to the building on Friday. We just have to be able to match.
You know, individual speed is something, you know, that's a talent. That's something you have. You're born with it. You either have it or you don't. But you're talking about team speed in terms of the rhythm of the game. And Steve, if a team like Northeast comes out and they have this really quick rhythm, how long does it take in general for a team defending that to sort of catch up, if you know what I'm trying to ask here?
Yeah, I mean, so with them, it's not really the rhythm. It's not like they're a fast-paced offense. It's just how well they get off the ball,
mm-hmm.
how well they hit all their marks, how tight their running backs are to, like, the gap that they have to be at. And that is something that, like, you just, you know, you can't replicate it in practice if you don't run that offense all the time. So, you know, when you're running it with your show team, yeah, you know, we can draw it up on the card or whatever, but we're not going to run it the same way to the effectiveness that they're going to. So, I mean, and I've been part of programs that have run things like that, and I'll say, like, it usually takes about a quarter to a quarter and a half
okay.
for your guys to be like, wait a second, like, this is a little different than what we've been practicing all week. That kid gets all, like, this double team's a little bit different. That back hits it a little bit tighter. And that's one of the beauties to running an offense like that. Like, so I always give guys, you know, hats off to those guys, because, again, like, it's almost like when you run triple option. The other team can't run it in a week.
Right.
So you've got to get caught up. So it's a nice change of pace that a lot of schools have. And, you know, and Donnie's bought into the way they do it. Their kids have bought in. They're tough. They do everything the right way. So it's like, you know, I told our guys, they're not going to beat themselves. We're going to have to, you know, withstand, you know, that wave of blockers that are coming, and just it's going to be all – you know, shoulders and knees and cleats and face. Face there, make plays, because that's it. You know, they're going to try to make you wish you weren't there, and you know, we're going to have to just kind of, you know, man up in the middle and try to force some stops.
Coach, how's the new field? How's the new ballpark?
It's unbelievable. You know, we didn't have a home field during the COVID year. We had to play all of our games on the road. Everything here was still under construction. So this is you know, we got on this. This is our third year on the new field. It's the surface is fantastic. It's not like the old rubber pellets. It's more like sand and pebbles and whatever. But like we were practicing the pouring rain the other day. The footing doesn't. I mean, there's no difference in the footing. It's an unbelievable surface. They did a great job with the landscape around. I mean, we've got a video board that plays the game while the game's going on. You know, the sound system's fantastic, the lights, the whole deal. I mean, it's a gorgeous facility. They did a great job with it. I couldn't be happier with the way it's
done. Sounds great, Coach. Steve, I'm looking forward to talking to you again during the season. Meantime, good luck this week against Northeast, and thanks for taking the time tonight.
Thank you very much. We'll talk to you again.
Take care, Coach. Bye-bye. All right, that is Saugus High School football coach Steve Cummings. With MSO News Sports, I'm Rick Moore.